Welcome to the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch Podcast. These are messages by Hendrick Motorsports Chaplain Donnie Floyd of Motor Racing Outreach. These messages are spoken weekly to encourage and help you see the world through God's eyes and not your own. Life can be difficult, but we believe life with God can be joyful and fulfilling. I hope that these messages will influence you to trust God and His promises. You can learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get ready for today's message. Well, good afternoon, everyone. My favorite dessert today. Who likes to, how do we say it? Pistachio cake. Who is all about that? Who's like, no way? There's always somebody. Dale left a piece for somebody. Well, hey, glad you guys are here today. I'm super excited about today because I get to sit down and be fed just like you all. Before I pray, I want to introduce Nathan Smith. I got to meet him a while back, obviously through the Refuge, Pastor Stewart. I've been up there. I know him well. I know a few people here attend the Refuge, so they know Nathan. After spending just a little bit of time with Nathan, you can't help but be drawn to him. God has gifted him with so many great talents, and you're going to get to see some of those today. But not only that, he's a gifted speaker. And so I don't think we've ever had someone here that played the guitar, that sang and spoke all at the same time. So it's a one package deal today. I'm excited. Before he gets going and leading us, let me pray for us. God, thank you for our time. God, we just thank you for who you are and the opportunity, God, to come in a place and have a great meal, to be fed physically, to be fed spiritually. God, we're just grateful for Nathan and his willingness to come share with us. We know, God, Lord, you laid something on his heart, and so, God, I just pray that we would receive it. We continue to pray, God, for this company, the travel this week, as everyone heads to Texas. We pray for your favor over our time there, Lord. And God, we pray that you would help us to leave this place knowing more about you than when we came. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, just really privileged to get a chance to hang out with you guys for a few minutes. Donnie had asked me to speak, and then he called the other day and said, man, you got to play a little bit. So play a song. I grew up singing in church, and then maybe lead a song you may know, maybe not, and then share a few things with you. Anybody recognize that one? What a friend we have in Jesus. Grew up singing that song. And one of my best friends wrote a song that God's used, and you may or may not know it, but I just felt to sing it for you today, and then I'll share some things that God's put on my heart. But it's called Overwhelmed.
I see the work of your hands, galaxies spinning, a heavenly dance. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming. I hear the sound of your voice. All at once it's a gentle and thundering noise. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming. 'Cause I delight myself in you, the glory of your praise.
Man, truly overwhelmed by the grace of God and the opportunity to be here with you guys today. And really, it's a tremendous privilege, and I'm sure it's referenced by many others, and if it's not, it probably should. But just the fact that you guys get to do this from week to week at your place of business is an absolute incredible gift and privilege. And I want to encourage you, for those that have been doing this for years and years and years, not to take it for granted. There's a lot of places that don't get to experience this kind of encouragement in their relationship with Jesus throughout the work week. And so I definitely want to highlight and respect that. Donnie gave me the privilege of coming today. I put some notes there for you. He asked me to send in advance. So if you zone out on me, or if the pistachio cake gets your attention, you can come back to it later and see what I was talking about. But if not, just share a few things. I'm just going to base it off a quick story. So originally from the Gulf Coast, any Gulf Coasters in here? Grew up South Alabama, Panhandle of Florida. Grew up down that way. I've been in the Concord area for 20 years. Matter of fact, next month is 20 years exactly. My wife and I moved here with our five-week-old daughter who just had her 20th birthday. And we helped plant a church called The Refuge on Kannapolis Parkway. We started in Concord, but we're off Kannapolis Parkway, 2 miles past Target on the right. And it's been quite a journey, quite an adventure, and privileged to be a part of that. I was the worship pastor for the first 10 years, and then my current role is executive pastor and serve in lots of different capacities there. But more than anything else, I love Jesus. I'm the product of a Christian home, two parents, mom and dad, that love Jesus, that taught me. Both my parents are musicians. They both played guitar. My mom played piano. We grew up singing together. And yes, I have very many incriminating, embarrassing photos of me singing with my family. That's what we did as a kid. And as strange as it may seem, it was the most wonderful way to grow up. I'm so thankful for my heritage. But my wife and I helped plant a church in Orange Beach, Alabama, with some friends of ours in 1999. If you didn't know, Alabama has a coast. It's about that big, and it's beautiful. So you ought to see it sometime. But we lived down that way on the Gulf. And we saw some real amazing things happen in our church that we started there. Really fast growth, and we started getting some attention from some other people. And at that time, right before we started the church, my college roommate was a guy named Mike Weaver, and he and I played music together, and he started a band when we lived together called Big Daddy Weave. And now, 25 years later, they're still doing that, and I still get a chance to play with them pretty regularly. But it was a real neat season in life. Had some really cool opportunities to do some really cool stuff. And, you know, it was Walt Disney that said, I think every young person needs to experience one good failure early in life to recognize that it doesn't have to define you. And there's a lot of truth in that. But in my case, in this season, we had seen a lot of successes, some really cool things happen. And if I'm very honest, as a young man, I just thought, well, man, got the golden touch. I'm really doing great. Kind of began to think of myself more highly than I ought, to quote a Bible verse. We got an opportunity at our church. There was a man that worked in the Department of Corrections, and he came to our lead pastor and asked if he would come share a devotion to some of the inmates, and asked me if I'd come bring my guitar and sing. And I'm just going to be very transparent with you. It's humiliating, but it's good medicine to tell the story. At the time, I was traveling and doing some different things, playing music, and really thought, man, can we get somebody else to go do this and play guitar? Like, I didn't say these things because I was way too Christian to say it out loud. I just thought it in my heart, right? And so I squeaked out, sure, I'd be glad to do that in all of my arrogance. I said, sure, I'd be glad to do that. And if I'm really transparent, I was a little more bummed about missing Monday Night Football because it was on a Monday night that they were going to do this thing. And I thought, man, what a cramp in my style to go serve these men. That was my attitude. So if you were expecting to be impressed with my holiness, hopefully I've destroyed any hopes that you had in that by now. That was my attitude, and the only credit I get in the story is that I said yes, that I would go. Loaded up that evening, went to the Department of Corrections, and the man that had invited us let us know he was running around doing some things. This is kind of pre-cell phone, at least for us, so hard to stay in touch. They were expecting us. They check our IDs. We go in. I take my guitar. My pastor takes his Bible. We're going to share devotion. And we're running a few minutes late, and we're having a hard time getting there. We can't find the guy that invited us. And that's not a great combination when you're going into a correctional facility. Just thought I would share that with you. So the guard points us in the direction of where we're supposed to go. Me and my arrogant attitude, who thinks I'm too good to be at this place. And they escort us away and say, yeah, just back that way. And so we go in and we find a room of about 60-ish guys sitting in complete silence. We're already late. And so my pastor just says, hey, buddy, just grab your guitar and start leading a few songs, and then I'll share devotion. And so I grab my guitar and I'm like, hey guys, you know, we're here from this church down at the beach, and, you know, I'm going to lead a few songs. And it is just, there is nothing happening. Surely it couldn't have been my amazing attitude that was affecting things, but that's what was going on. And lead a few songs, singing to Jesus. And it's really hard to sing your heart out to Jesus and be full of yourself at the same time. And the Lord's just working on me of like, man, Nathan, who do you think you are? Like, why? And I'm like, I'm repenting. I'm like, oh God, I'm the worst, man. Please forgive me of this. I'm glad to be here. Nobody's singing anything. You're on your own up here. Just a bunch of people staring at you. It's silent, not too dissimilar from what we're experiencing right now. And so I'm like, man, okay. So I finish. Pastor comes up, shares a message, and about a dozen guys respond and give their lives to Jesus in that meeting, where I had this horrible attitude, where I thought I was too cool for school, and the Lord moved in spite of my weakness, my arrogance. And that'd be an amazing story if that's where it stopped. But right about that time, we're praying with these men, and I'm just like repenting, like, God, I am the absolute worst. How can you use me when I'm so arrogant? Please forgive me. Praying with these men, and about that time in the back door, very similar to this room, back door, very large African-American man, I'd say probably 6'7", 6'8", with a dashiki on, a little square hat, starts marching at us with some authority. And he was not happy. And I'm like, I don't know if we're gonna get eaten or what's gonna happen, but this dude is upset. So he comes right at us and he starts yelling and pointing his finger at us. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why are you doing this? And I mean, it was like a scene. Well, in that brief exchange, we learned there was a reason that we couldn't find the guy that invited us to come to the Department of Corrections to speak to the little Christian group, because that group meets on the other side of the campus. We had wandered into the Islamic interest group meeting, and little arrogant kid walks up with his guitar and is like, we're gonna sing about Jesus. And so we start singing, and a dozen people who came to learn about Islam give their life to Jesus in this meeting room. And the only credit I can take is that I said yes, even with an arrogant heart, and God showed up anyway. I wish I could tell you a better story that, man, I had fasted and prayed and was really asking God to move. Nope, arrogant, couldn't find the right place, showed up in the wrong room, took over when we didn't have authority, and still Jesus showed up. One of the most amazing stories I've ever been a part of, and I can't take any credit because I was getting everything wrong, because I didn't see the value of what God had treasured and said was precious. Share a few thoughts with you on that, and then I'm gonna get you out of here. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 is kind of the red thread for everything I wanna say today. And it says this, the kingdom of heaven, this is Jesus speaking, is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again. He sold everything he owned. He got the money. He got enough money to buy the field. I want to talk to you super quick about three things to help you remember that it's worth it. You know, our faith in Jesus will require things of us that are challenging. It'll humble you. We have to remember our emblem of our faith is a cross, a torture device. Our King gave up his life. He delayed sitting on a throne until he was resurrected. He came and he served those that others didn't want to serve. That's who Jesus is. And he says the kingdom of heaven is kind of like finding a treasure in a field and then selling everything you have to purchase the field. And if we're going to keep the perspective that our faith, not only is it worth it, but what God's called us to is worth it, the first thing I want to remind you of is you got to focus on the treasure and not the field. Here's the idea. It doesn't say that the man bought the treasure. It says he bought the field that the treasure was in. I can guarantee you this. There were rocks, there were weeds, there was hard work that field was connected to. But the person in the parable understood there's treasure in there. And if I buy the whole field, I get the treasure as well. Some of us don't like package deals, right? Don't sell me, don't bundle my auto and car and home, and don't bundle everything, don't bundle my cable and my cell phone, I wanna get it. We understand package deals. So often life is a package deal, and the Christian life is certainly a package deal. We get the glory of knowing the risen Savior. We get the glory of having our sins forgiven and hope given to us. And in that same field, we may have to go through some challenges. We may have to navigate some difficult things in the workplace or in our family lives or in our relationships and even in our faith. But here's what we have to remember if we'll keep the perspective that the treasure is in the field. Is this making sense at all to you? I had lost sight in my opening story. I had lost sight of the treasure that was in the hearts of these men that couldn't leave this place, that were eager to hear from the Lord, so much so that I didn't even find the right group of guys. God sent me to another group that needed to hear it even more because he valued the field. He saw the treasure. I can't promise you, you won't run into circumstances in your life where you start saying, is it really worth it? Is it worth it being consistent and faithful? Is it really worth it trusting Jesus with my finances, with my health, trusting him in my workplace, looking for that promotion and that opportunity, but having to be patient and humble myself and serve others and encourage others while I wait for my opportunity? It may be challenging, but can I tell you something? If you'll keep your eyes on the treasure and not get distracted by the field, you'll benefit. Does that make sense on some level? I hope so. Proverbs 25 verse 2 says this, it's the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings to search it out. God says that the kingdom is precious. Things he values are precious. And so he doesn't just put it all on display for everybody. He says, if you want this, it's available to you, but you may have to reach a little bit. And I love this because anything that's valuable to us, we put in banks or safety deposit boxes, or we lock away because it's valuable and precious. Jesus says, it's precious to me, but I'll share it with anyone who would seek. If you would seek what I have for you, I want to bless you with it. And I believe that that's something he's encouraging with us today. The second idea is this. Remember, this is how God sees you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't wait for us to get our stuff figured out and then come to him and look all cute with our shirt tucked in and, you know, our cowlicks down and we say, now I'm ready. He says, you'll never be ready. I'll take you right where you are. I'll take you right where you are. He sees the treasure that's inside each and every one of you, whether you see it or not. This is how the Lord sees you today. I want to challenge you to see yourself this way because you were made in the image of God. He formed and fashioned you. Psalm 139 says he knit you together in your mother's womb. That's what it says. You have purpose, you have value, but the enemy will try to keep us from seeing our value. And if he can do that, if the devil can get us to devalue ourselves, then we'll quit looking for the treasure that God's put inside of us. He sees treasure in you. He sees value in you. That's why he reaches for us. Matthew 10, verse 29 through 31 says this, what's the price of two sparrows? A copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. He could have said flock of seagulls, and that would have been a really great illustration, but he didn't say that. He said flock of sparrows, so I won't make any 80s jokes there. If we lose sight of the way God sees us, well, then we won't be able to value ourselves enough knowing that he already purchased you through the blood that he shed on the cross. If you'll say, I accept what you paid. Your value is set today. It's been said that you know, the market sets the value of things. The market sets the value. I could try to sell this microphone to you for $1 million, but the truth is no one's gonna buy this microphone for $1 million because the market won't bear it out, right? Maybe they'll pay 100, maybe they'll pay 200, maybe 300, but the market sets the value. Here's the truth today. Your value was set the day Jesus died on the cross for you. He said, your value is the perfect blood of the Son of God. He's the only one willing to pay, and he's the only one who can afford it. So today, know that he sees you as a treasure. Here's the third idea. If we're going to really see that it's worth it, remember that there's treasure in the field and not be distracted by the weeds and the work and the hard parts of this life, because we're going to face them all the time, every day, everywhere we go. To remember that it's worth it because Jesus is our hope. We've got to let the Father silence the voice of the accuser. You may not realize this, but Satan is not a proper name, it's a title. In Hebrew, Hasatan, it means the accuser. That's what it means. It's not a name, it's a title. Satan is the accuser. A lot of people say they have a hard time maybe hearing the voice of God. I believe God speaks to us in so many ways all the time. But I can guarantee you this, everyone in this room has heard the voice of the accuser before. Everyone's heard the devil speak because it sounds like this. Who do you think you are? Why in the world would God forgive you? You know what you did. The accuser talks all the time. And everyone in this room has heard it. The question is, will we put more value on that voice? Or we put more value on the voice that says, I love you with an everlasting love. I've purchased you for all time because I see the value in who you are. This is what Jesus has done. We've got to let the Father silence the voice of the accuser. I put this in your notes. Luke chapter 15, a very, very familiar passage. It's the story of the prodigal son. I'm just going to read a portion. This is when the son who had rejected his father and went off into the world finally repents and comes back. He comes back to his father. This is in Luke 15. It's in the notes there, verse 20 through 24. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion, and ran to him. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. It's a powerful story in its own right, but if you're not Jewish, if you don't understand Hebrew literature, you would miss this aspect. There's a reason the father ran to his son as he was coming back. In the Talmud, which is something I won't explain right now, it's ancient writings of the Hebrew scribes, it talks about a ceremony called the Ketzatzah. The Ketzatzah was something known very much in this time in Scripture, that if a man dishonored his father and squandered his wealth, basically made him, desperate, anytime he would show his face in the community again, the elders of the community would go to that person. They would take a clay pot full of dirt and trash, and they would break it in his presence and basically say, in the same way that this filth is broken in your presence, you have broken covenant with your own father. You've dishonored your father, and you don't belong in our community anymore because of the way you've treated your father. There's a reason in the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. There's a reason the father runs to him. He's outrunning the accusers who are going to come to his son and say, you're not welcome anymore. I want to tell you something. All of us have heard the voice of the accuser that say, you've gone too far. There's no more room for you. You used to be close to Jesus, but now you've been living this certain life. Let me tell you something. Our father will outrun the accuser, and he will make a case for you and say, I see treasure in that field. I'm not worried about the weeds. I see treasure in that field. And he'll receive you today if you'll let him draw close. I'll just say this to you. Stop listening to the voice of the accuser. And can I encourage you with this one? I'll say it with a smile. Stop accusing yourself. No one can tear me down like I can tear me down. No one can pick me apart like I can pick me apart. But I want to challenge you today. The Lord is for you and not against you. Don't let yourself get there. Now see the treasure that God has in you, and you will realize that you're worth it. I'll say this as well. The people you work with, the people you do life with, the family that he's given you, they're worth it as well. See the treasure instead of focusing on the flaws. There's plenty. You'll run into them all the time. Hang out with me any amount of time, I will disappoint you at a blistering pace, right? I'm just a guy, and I love Jesus, and I'm trying. But man, let's see the treasure, and then we'll have eyes like God has, where we'll see people for who they are, and we'll invite them into a better story. Can I pray for you today? Father, I thank you for these incredible men and women. Lord, I thank you for the gifts and talents that are in this room. Gifts and talents that are able to be so effective in what they do as a team. But Lord, I recognize every person in here has struggles at times feeling like they're worth it, or they struggle in their faith to realize they still have what it takes to continue, or they wonder if you even want them to stay in it. God, I thank you today that you've sent me in all of my silliness to be able to encourage and say, you're worth it today. And the kingdom is worth it. And Jesus says, fix your eyes on the treasure. Don't get lost in the weeds. Lord, I pray you would encourage every person that's here to recognize that you are for them and not against them. That, Lord, your blood speaks a better word than all of their sin, and that they can draw close to you today if they would just say, Jesus, I need you. So draw us close today as we go about our work. I pray for every family, for every single person, for every child, for every parent, for every person that's navigating issues in relationships and family dynamics. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would show them the treasure, and that Jesus, you would ultimately be the great treasure for us all. And encourage us, God, silence the voice of the accuser so that we can walk with you in the fullness of your joy. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message. It is our hope that you take what you have learned today and allow God to use it in your daily life. Feel free to share this message if it has been a benefit to you. Learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at gotomro.com. Take care and God bless.